mein auf den Supercast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 407. We're back at last, and I've been a bit busy, so I haven't got a quote, but we leave that particular task to Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Hello, Pete. How you been, boy?
And Mary Lang.
Remember me to Gallifrey.
Now, Debbie Melrose has been... Well, we didn't record last week because Debbie Melrose didn't have a voice. Some people may think it's a bonus, but she still hasn't got a voice, so therefore she's still not on the show. And that's what we do. We roll on. Wish we'd recorded last week now.
Well, you didn't record last week because I couldn't be there either.
Right. It would have been the boring Adam and Kirby show.
No, I just couldn't put up with Kirby on my own for that. I couldn't sit back in my chair and just sigh for 2 hours or whatever it was I'm doing. Right, so this week we're finally getting around to reviewing Armageddon Factor. Now, how do you Americans say Armageddon?
Armageddon.
No. That's interesting, isn't it? Yes, so we'll be looking at that presently. I don't want to spend too much time. I'm pretty sure we have done this story before.
No, we have not.
No, we have not.
Okay, then we shall do so. The Armageddon Factor begins... you'll have to help me out, because I watched this 3 weeks ago in mind to record it quite soon afterwards, and thanks to certain people's illnesses, may have forgotten a few things. So
I've now watched it a total of twice in my lifetime. So
I've watched it several times in my lifetime. I think I enjoyed it most this time, actually, to be fair. So there's this soap opera thing going on at the beginning of the story,
which I thought was silly.
Charming. Silly.
No, just confusing, because you think this is the start of the real episode.
No, I think they did a good job of making it look really sort of over-the-top CSO, didn't they?
Yeah.
And the sort of scenery chewing acting was delivered at the correct pace, shall we say. So I was watching a bit of that, and then the Doctor and Mamarner and K-9. Thank you. Just cavorting around in the TARDIS, and we see this really dirty sort of hospital ward that looks like it's sort of underground. Where this is where obviously they're watching this soap opera on the one TV that's up on the screen, and then there's a bit of a rock fall or shall we say polystyrene fall from the ceiling.
I thought this is supposed to be kind of futuristic. Everyone should have their own phones and be watching everything on their own phones.
To an extent, it is quite futuristic, Kirby. Think about it. This is filmed in 1977.
I was making a reference to the way that the future actually turned out to be.
Well, if you'd allow me to finish my joke, I would have alluded to the similar thing. I was just about to say that they were looking into the future, and of course we could sort of drum up some jokes about the state of the NHS. It'd be a bit harsh, really, but people generally take the mickey out of the NHS and say or imply that their wards are a bit like the wards as we saw in the Armageddon Factor. So then we meet the bloke who reminds me very much of the captain from the Pirate Planet, but without all the masks and stuff, and the way he is. He's always got his chair and he's a bit bolshy. I can't remember his name.
Marshall,
of course.
Marshall.
He did sort of remind me, about, and of course his little sidekick reminded me a little bit of Fibbley. He's wearing a different uniform, but it was a bit of a homage to it. And then we meet Princess Astra.
You mean Romana?
No, Princess Astra. She's not Romana yet, Kirby. Pull yourself together. This is the only time she's actually on the bridge or anything. I presume it was a bridge, because it looked like a bridge, didn't it? No? Okay, shut up.
Command Central. She's in there several times.
And, of course, we know straight away that she is the key to time, don't we, everybody? Sorry, the dog wants
to come. No, I didn't. I mean, I did.
We know that right away. I thought maybe it was the circlet on her head, but I didn't think it was her.
Okay.
First of all, I've known that she was a success for however many years it's been since I've been a Doctor Who fan, but I didn't see this story until about 4 months ago for the first time. But I didn't get anything from watching it that was a clue until she starts spouting off in episode six that she's the sixth daughter of the.
Yeah, okay. Well, this is just me trying to be facetious.
There's so much focus on the circlet around her head.
Yeah.
I thought that was the fifth.
It's me, exactly. It's me trying to be facetious. I was just going to see if any of you would try and make out that you did know from the start, because it obviously wasn't that clear. And I thought of either of you that would likely to do that would be Kirby, but no, well done.
Like I said, I knew. But
All right, you don't have to repeat it. Anyway, so then we go back down to the hospital ward, and there's a sort of nurse there, or is he a doctor? I don't know. He's wearing sort of military sort of garb. He ends up being the love interest for Astra. I beg your pardon?
He's a doctor.
Who's the doctor?
Her love interest.
Yeah, I was asking. He's a doctor, yeah. Not the doctor.
I don't remember them ever calling him a doctor.
Do you not? This is interesting. Go on, Kirby. Explain yourself. He's all wrong.
What's his name?
I just figured he was generally a medical person, but I didn't.
Asking me what his name is probably a bit silly.
Is it Merrick?
Merrick, yeah.
Yes, that sounds like a Doctor Who name, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Anyway, back. We are broadcasting on the 20 megabyte page, aren't we?
I don't know.
We better be, otherwise I don't care anymore.
I don't
care where I broadcast now. I'm quite a rebel. Well, I'm not, but I'm going to be today. Well, do I look a bit red? I wore my hat today. Why am I looking so red under the gills? Have you seen my new hat? No? Okay, I'll carry on.
I don't have the live stream on, so no.
No, I'm not wearing one. I've posted a picture of me wearing it.
You're not wearing it now, though, because you don't have a hat on in the Facebook.
Oh, you are watching. Hello, Mary.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how it could be you and just two people. So, I reckon this viewing figure number lies.
Hi.
Oh, I thought Deb was asking me if I wanted cake for a minute then. I've already
heard. Master.
Kirby, I was just about to move on to the next bit. Yes?
Marshall refers to Merrick as Surgeon Merrick.
There you go, Mary. What do you say about that?
Okay, well, then I've been told.
You have, and if I had my bell, which I do.
When Marshall obviously knows that Princess sees him kind of on the side, he goes, "We're no doubt Surgeon Merrick anxiously awaits you."
Anyway, the TARDIS materializes, and there's something going on, isn't there? Some explosion that they're trying to avoid? Oh, there's a war, wasn't there? They were shooting at something, and they tried to shoot the TARDIS and just missed it, I think, because I don't think the Doctor got out of the way just in time. And the Marshal keeps going up to this sort of weird window and talking to himself, and then sort of almost like having some sort of weird seizure in front of it. And, so I wonder who he's talking to.
And he must have been doing this for years or something, because nobody acts like it's anything special.
Yeah. Anyway, so at this point, Princess Astra is still, at large, and the Doctor and Romana eventually are moving forward now, because they've been stuck in episode one for too long.
She's very, very nice looking.
Anyway, like I said, eventually, the Doctor and Romana land in the middle of this sort of hovel, and the TARDIS gets trapped behind a door. And my DVD's sticking, and I'm trying to move forward to get to the end of episode one at this rate. Oh yeah, then the surgeon. We'll call him the surgeon for your benefit, Mary.
Yeah.
Arrives on the bridge. The Doctor and Romana, because they've sort of been arrested, as they usually do in these situations, and presented to the Marshal, and which allows Tom Baker to do his Tom Bakeriness. Like he always does. And then moving forward a bit further, and of course Astra's unconscious. What happened there then? Did she get trapped in a room or something?
They locked the room.
Then there's some running through corridors and some bloke with a very sort of black mask, who I suppose we assume might be the Black Guardian. It probably isn't. It's all gone quiet again.
It's the shadow.
It's the shadow.
I thought the shadow was the...
No, it's one of the shadow's goons, actually.
Sorry, I've just been handed an iPad, and
the info text.
But if someone mentions me, I'll get back to them. Yeah, I've got a quite. Have they?
Yeah.
I've got. Okay. Well, if someone messages me, I'll get back to them. I've got quite a lot of stuff like that on at the moment. Sorry, business stuff. Sorry about that. I like that. They do that on morning TV, don't they? You'd be in the middle of a link, and somebody hands somebody an iPad, and you've got to. Yeah. Anyway, that was the end of episode. What happened there? So I got to the end of the episode just as Deb was handing me the iPad. That's right, because Astra gets dragged into a transmat by the Shadow.
I am the Shadow.
No, I was making the point that was not the Shadow. It was one of the Shadow's henchmen.
Oh. The mutes.
Yeah, the mutes.
Yes, but when did you think when you said the Shadow, didn't you not think of Blackadder 3 when the highwayman who was a woman?
I thought of the radio Shadow program, you know, the Shadow.
Yeah, right.
Me too. By the time the infotext got around to like the fifth episode, when that particular mute, the chief mute, and manages to kick up some of the carpet that's on the floor in front of the TARDIS, and they actually name which actors in that costume, and he was one of those guys who was always in lots of monster costumes, who was not the
stuntman. Thank you for that. Like I say, so we recap again, and Romana, so I'm doing it now. Astra gets dragged into the
gotcha.
Into the thing, and much to the dismay of her lover. K9 is hovering around, just moving forward a little bit now, because we did spend far too much time talking about nonsense during episode one. Obviously, the Doctor has immediately made friends with the surgeon. To lack the confusion, I will call him the surgeon. What's his name again? Merak or something?
Merak.
I seem to think that name's used quite a lot in Doctor Who, you know? Either yeah. Mirak or Merak or something, or Anorak or something like that. And we did say, obviously, the Marshal keeps on going up to his badly made mirror and touching his neck. And
No dead giveaways there.
He's a bit of a strange man because he seems to like explosions. Meanwhile, K9, for some reason, goes into this flap thing, which turns out to be some sort of conveyor belt and incinerator situation. How did he end up in that situation?
He got thrown in there because that's how they reprocess all
he
their...
He got thrown in there, but I see the video of him literally wheeling himself into the... Would someone push him? Hang on, I'll watch it.
I think someone pushed him.
Yeah, I think someone pushes him in.
No, there's a strange sort of graphic that he follows in. Is he like hypnotized?
Oh, okay.
I reckon he's
hypnotized.
Maybe so. Yeah, I think.
Yeah. I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't have it in front of me, so I don't remember.
So he's on the conveyor belt. For the next 20 minutes, you hear him saying, "Heat unacceptable," and stuff like that.
Yes.
I really did drag it out. Must be a very, very long conveyor belt.
Yeah, to make all the kids cry. And
yeah. And give John Leeson some lines to say as well. Excuse me. Right then, so I'm just moving forward because I don't really know what's going on here. It's just banter between the Doctor and the villain characters. And then Astra appears.
There's a lot filler in this story.
Astra appears to do an announcement to everybody, which causes the Marshal to have to run to his window and hold his neck again. And then we see through the window like a skull thing. It looked a little bit like the skull from the image of the Fendal, did it not, Kirby?
Yeah, yes. It did. It reminded me of that.
He's probably going to say it is. Wait for it. Oh, he's not. Oh, there you go.
No, it's not the same skull.
Oh, is it not? Okay. The Doctor rescues K-9.
However, Master.
It's like it. Uh-oh. It's like it.
Master?
However, yes.
William Squire, who played the Shadow, also the Shadow. Provided Gandalf's voice in the Bakshi Lord of the Rings.
The what? Lord of the Rings?
Lord of the Rings, the Bakshi version, the animated one from 78, 79, somewhere around there. Year.
Okay, back to Doctor Who.
Yeah, he was Gandalf.
Was he?
Yes.
Okay. So how did he deliver the line, "You shall not pass"? Did he do it in a sort of way as quite as good as Ian McKellen?
I don't remember. It's been ages since I watched that version.
Right then, so anyway, I'll ask me if I'm in the end of episode or episode. In the end of episode two, the Doctor gets dragged into the transmat and takes taken away, much to the shock of Romana. It's a very similar ending to episode two that was to episode one. I wish I had any cotton bud. I've got a really itchy ear. I really don't want to stick this magic wand into it because that could be quite painful. And having Mary on the show, being a medical person, I don't think that we ever advise anyone to stick a magic wand, even if it's the elder wand, into your ear.
Absolutely.
Episode three. Right then, episode three begins with a recap, as usual. And quite a long recap, actually. Good Lord. Very, very long recap. And the Doctor he meets the Shadow, who's not a highwayman in this particular story, and is imprisoned in a strange sort of triangle-y sort of metal thing, which is very reminiscent to the one that the first Doctor was in, and the Three Doctors. Sort of.
Oh, yeah.
So you're not picking up on these
right,
things,
are you? That skull does look like the Findahl skull. Well, I wouldn't be at all surprised if it wasn't the same one.
You would be surprised, would you?
Infotext didn't say anything about it.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, the Shadow interrogates the Doctor by basically torturing him to try and get the answers he wants out of him. The Doctor doesn't like that very much. Romana, meanwhile, starts flirting with Astra, who's essentially Romana's boyfriend. Oh, you know what I mean. And somehow, the surgeon manages to transmat to where the Doctor is. He's on the other planet, the other warring faction planet. Is that right?
Nessie. No, this is what? Not. This is the planet in between. This is the.
Oh, it's like the jump pad.
The Shadows planet.
The Shadows. Yeah. Shadows planet. Okay.
And I figured that out later, but for so much of this, I was so confused as to where anybody was.
But the TARDIS is back, by the way. They got the TARDIS.
I even forgot where the TARDIS was.
And Astra has been chained to a wall, because we now find that the Astra that we saw on the broadcast was, in fact, a projection of Astra. Is that correct? No?
Was it?
Well, the one that lures Merrick? Mm. Yeah, probably.
Either that, or it's just Astra being controlled by Shadow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Shadow's really funny, isn't he? I love the way he talks. In fact, I've just got a segment of him talking here, which I'm just going to play, because it's like he's got his sort of mask on slightly wonky, because his nose is off to one side. But anyway, we can't see that on a podcast. Here we go.
I tell you, Princess, the secret has been passed down through generation after generation.
It's fantastic.
The secret has been passed down
through generation. But he looks like he's got like a bit of tight, you know, what are they called? Tights. We call them nylons, you know, with something stretched over his face.
Could well have, yes.
Distorting his features.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, it does look like that. Maybe someone should ask Lillian.
Lillian's watching, so maybe we could find out. Anyway, can I just say, there's a scene, obviously, where Astra gets a bit stressed out by this thing and starts screaming. She's tied up and she's sort of screaming and shouting, not very happy, which the next story we're going to be reviewing is the, not today obviously, but Destiny of the Daleks. Romana, obviously played by Lala Ward, is tied up and being threatened in a similar way by the Daleks, and acts in a very similar way. Just sort of say that so you can sort of watch out for it, you know, when it happens.
You must.
Oh, right, I've played that bit. Stop it. Right then, so, sorry, so she shouts at the Shadow. At least I can remember that name. Romana and K-9 sort of manage to transport themselves to everybody is, the sort of in-betweeny planet. For the sake of argument, we'll call it the in-betweeny planet. I'm very bad on names.
The Shadow's lair.
The Shadow's lair, Kirby. I like that one. That was good. At this stage,
figure out where anybody is.
The Marshal's sidekick is sort of in flux. He's sort of currently with the Doctor, but he's not sort of his friend yet. But he becomes his friend from around this point onwards. And I'm just moving forward. Oh yeah, the Romana's still carrying the tracer, and a bit confused as the reading she's getting from it. Because That's because Princess Astra is the sixth segment. Just saying. And
which you still don't know.
No, we don't know at this stage. But makes sense in the end. And K-9 then sort of makes friends with this. Does K-9 end up going to the other planet, the one where nobody's actually alive? It's just a computer.
Yes.
So that's where he goes to.
Because he talks to the computer.
Yeah, he gets very, very friendly with the computer.
Yeah.
And they seem to like each other. And then somewhere along the line, the war's over, isn't it? Which I think the Marshal doesn't really like that. He wants to keep on blowing things up. Or, so we say, the Marshal under the control of the Black Guardian doesn't like that.
I don't think the Marshal knows that there's nobody on Zeos.
No, he does. He thinks that the planet is entirely populated with millions of people.
Yeah.
Okay. So he's led to believe that by the computer or by the shadow or by the Black Guardian. It is Astra is being controlled by Shadow. So the Shadow makes Astra sort of confuse a few people. And there's a bit where Astra turns up and the surgeon is so excited and thrilled to see her.
Yeah, Lillian has put in her voice. She writes, "If the Shadow is wearing tights over his face, he's doing it wrong."
Well, well, well.
Thank you, Lillian.
Oh, that's right, because Marek goes up to give Astra a hug and she floats straight through him, and then he falls down some girt hole and goes, ah.
Yeah, I had no idea where that was because he ends up somewhere else and I don't even know where he ended up.
The Marshal then jumps in his little shuttle thing and heads out to do battle, to blow, a bit like sort of a mad version of the Brigadier, to just blow everything up. And I love the scene. There's a scene sort of from behind the Marshal's head looking out the windscreen, which is, bearing in mind this episode came out in the middle of Star Wars mania, that they were trying to create a similar sort of view that you would see on the Millennium Falcon, looking out with a starscape and everything, which I thought was quite nice.
I have to say, though, after the first dozen or so, fire! Fire!
Yeah.
Fire!
Oh, you're talking about the time loop?
Yes.
Have we got to the time loop? Yes. This is where the time loop starts.
Yes.
Yeah, so the Doctor creates a time loop, but by super gluing the five segments of time together and putting some putty in to make the sixth one, just to try and get some power out of it, which I like. Yeah. That's so much of a Doctor thing to do, isn't it, let's face it?
Yeah, it is. I did like that.
Yeah. And, so that then puts everything, it stops the Marshal from pressing the fire button for a little bit of time, and then, then Marek climbs out of the... he's landed somewhere along the line for his big fall. He's got a little gash on his head, bless him. And K-9 then has a little bit of a scrap with some guards. But then K-9 gets taken over. It becomes controlled by Shadow, I think.
The Shadow, yeah.
Yes. And at the end of episode 4, Astra is taken into the TARDIS. Where she regenerates. No, sorry, I'm getting confused now. But she
down, boy, down.
She becomes hypnotized by the tracer and the remains of the other segments of time. And of course, if she touches that tracer, then that's it. She becomes what she is.
Yes.
And then she does start hinting about the sixth thing of the sixth whatever at that point. So I think if you are watching, you do know that she is. Probably. Did you get it at that point?
Yeah, by now, yeah.
She's the last piece of the jigsaw. So she just about doesn't touch it because the Doctor stops her. And they sort of, the TARDIS goes where it's meant to go, bearing in mind it's got a randomizer. Oh, we haven't had that yet, have we? Sorry. Jumping ahead a bit there for a little while. And... then the Doctor, it gets a bit confused in these weird catacombs where lots of figures keep appearing all over the place. And
they do that very well, because she appears very real in every place she shows up.
Yes. And then he bumps into, Drax, I think he's called. Now, Drax is... I'm waiting for Kirby to correct me because I'm not very good with names.
Drax.
Oh, yes. Thank you very much. I got that one right. Do I get a ding? He's... got his Cockney accent, which was quite amusing. And he knows the Doctor.
And this is where we get Theta Sigma.
Yeah. Is that your delivery arriving, Kirby, or was that Mary's phone? No.
It wasn't me.
So Mary's phone must have gone off then.
So yeah, anyway, it was me, and I muted so that you wouldn't have to hear it.
Oh, I see. Okay. So they have a little bit of a conversation and realise that they knew each other from the academy or whatever, and they sort of... That's basically what happens the rest of the episode, where they just sort of get into... They have a plan, because they're both sort of Time Lords, and they have a plan to... Because Drax has this gun that shrinks things. Fortunately, when it comes to...
He creates that gun out of the piece of his TARDIS that he carries around with him.
Yeah, but unfortunately, he shoots the wrong thing at the end of the episode. He shoots the Doctor, shrinks him. Oh, Mary's playing a bit of guitar there.
Apparently.
I've just started the wrong episode up. Episode 6. We call it Part 6 here in Doctor Who Land. So the Doctor's now been shrunk. but Drax does shrink himself as well. Again, wrong. And the time loop is starting to decay. It's getting closer and closer to the fire to actually actually happening. I'm just whizzing forward here.
I am too.
Oh, that's right. And then the Shadow gets his hand on what's left of the key to time. But Shadow knows, I think, that Astra is the sixth segment, because he basically turns Astra into the remaining segment of the key to time.
Yes.
So, no, he doesn't. Doesn't she step forward and do it herself?
Yeah, but he manipulates her into doing it. The Doctor...
And conveniently has the little half circle on it for the little rod to go through.
Yes. So that's what she said. No, anyway. So the Doctor and Drax find their way to K-9, get inside, and mess around with some electronics. And then something goes wrong with the Shadow. The Doctor, they nick the key to time from under his nose. So that was quite a lot left of the episode by the time that happened, you know. And he
just stands there, you know, arms in the air, you know, yeah, acting very distressed. I figured, don't you have anything else you can do to get it back?
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? All this power he has.
All his power, and all he can do is stand there.
Then there's a big bang, and the Black Guardian appears in negative form, and Drax goes off, and the Doctor then does his...
You mean Deep Thought from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy?
If you say so. Then the Doctor does his, we have the key to time, and he rolls his eyes back and does his, we could have all power and stuff like that, which is a very funny
that
scene.
That was funny.
In fact, it's so funny, I'm going to play it. There we go. Just play a bit of it, just where his eyes are running. This one here. Hang on, let's turn the volume up.
Are you listening to me, Romana?
Yes, of course I'm listening.
Because if you're not listening, I can make you listen. Because I can do anything. As from this moment, there's no such thing as free will in the entire universe. There's only my will, because I possess the key to time.
Doctor, are you all right?
Well, of course I'm all right, I suppose.
Bastard?
Really, yes, what, yes?
Yes, all the dialogue from the point where they've nicked the key to time and go into the TARDIS to the end of the episode was written by Douglas Adams.
Was it? Well, that's interesting, isn't it, Mary?
Sort of.
Because he's accepted the job as script editor for the next season, and they asked him to do that little bit.
Okay. Lillian Robbins says they changed Lala Ward's makeup after she became Romana. Astra's makeup is much more plain Jane. Okay. That's interesting, wasn't it? You would never have picked up on that one, would you, Kirby? No, he's been very quiet. So anyway, what the Doctor does
is
he knows full well that the Black Guardian is pretending to be the White Guardian, and ends up basically gets rid of the key to time. So we go through six stories in which are in the searching of the key to time, and then he gets rid of it and puts a randomizer installs a randomizer into the TARDIS console, so as a Black Guardian can't find them until Enlightenment. Or not Enlightenment, sorry, Mordred and Undead. I beg your pardon. Oh, sorry, was that a spoiler? Oops, sorry.
No. And I saw all those.
I'm sure we'll forget by then.
Okay, Armageddon Factor. It's too long, but it was the season finale, so it's acceptable. Also, you get two extra episodes of Mary Tam, so woohoo. But it's quite good. It's I think it's a lot of tongue-in-cheek in the story. It's some really good, entertaining characters, especially Drax, who I wish had been in the story a little bit longer, to be fair. And it's just fascinating to see Lala Ward and Mary Tam on the screen at the same time, bearing in mind we know what happens to Lala Ward after that. It would be interesting to know when Tom Baker and Lala Ward struck up their relationship. Kirby will probably know because he knows everything. When did they strike up their relationship?
It was in the next season when they started working together more closely.
Ah, okay. So, yeah, it was... it was okay, wasn't it? It wasn't the best thing ever. Wasn't the worst thing ever. It certainly wasn't the best season finale that Doctor Who has ever seen. But it was quite enjoyable. And a lot of scenery chewing by certain actors. But yeah, it was okay. I'm not going to complain about it. It's okay, wasn't it? What do you think, Kirby?
It was my second least favorite of the Key to Time.
Oh, sorry, I didn't realize we were doing least favorites and favorites of the series. I beg your pardon.
I mean, Power of Krull is worse, but I found it tedious, boring.
Which bit? Sorry.
Silly in a not fun way.
Well, sorry, you've lost me. I wasn't
Drax.
Listening to that bit. You
hated
don't like
Drax.
Drax
didn't behave right.
I think he's upset, Mary.
Yeah, I think so. You probably should have flipped us on this one.
Yeah, big ol' Bob.
Yeah. Well, you didn't know. You probably thought I was going to just gush over this.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, you usually do.
Usually.
Can you not stop being
I've been,
rude?
I've been stating so far as we've been going through the Key to Time that I had – we'd already covered my three favorite ones. I mean, it's okay. I mean, it's great, in fact, that it's – it concludes the Key to Time and all. And as I said, I only first saw this story about 3 months ago. I was all excited for it and was kind of disappointed when it turned out not to be that great. Now, when Fred was watching with me, she did not like the shadow in his voice at all. She and as I was watching the second time this past week, I thought he was great. I mean, the shadow is practically my favorite character in this whole story.
Hooray.
And Drax is my least favorite.
Boo.
Practically of all time.
All time? For goodness sake, Kirby.
And I also pointed out on the Facebook page that there's one point where Astra is talking about herself and the sixth daughter, etc. And she goes, "Destiny! My destiny is near." And I point out, yes, of course, Destiny of the Daleks is the next story.
Oh, very good, Kirby. Excellent.
The cleverness
that.
Of you.
You're on form today. Is that because you've had 3 weeks or so to actually discover your form?
Anyway.
Are you carrying on?
That's
okay.
It. Not my favorite. Not at all.
Okay. I don't know what's really worth playing this particular jingle, but here's Mary.
Well, gosh, I didn't hate it like Kirby did.
Which implies you still hated it, but there you go.
No. It was okay, actually. Ooh. I found it rather entertaining, except for episode 4, which I found incredibly tedious, because that episode was nothing but transmatting and running up and down, you know,
running through Paris
or another, and until I was so confused as to where anybody was or where the TARDIS was that I just wanted somebody to give me, you know, a diagram, you know, like where are we now and who's who. So episode
Mary,
4 Mary. Really bottomed it out for
Mary,
me.
Mary, yeah. Mary, Mary, so, Mary. I know you're in form there, but I'd just like to point out now that when Kirby said about Destiny of the Daleks, we haven't got along to you can start singing and running through Paris again. Just like to say.
Oh, yay.
And there was a very sad moment in episode 5 when, you know, K-9 is under the spell of the shadow, and when he approaches the doctor, he calls him the doctor, and the doctor looks at him and goes, "Doctor," and it's like, "Oh, K-9, that's your friend, that's your master," you know. But of course, he isn't. And there's so many things in this that just don't make sense, like. Why are the doctor and Romana confusing the Black Guardian with the White Guardian? They don't look anything alike, and yet, of course, I guess the doctor wasn't that confused. But I'm sitting there watching this, saying, "But that's not the White Guardian. So why are you talking to him as if he is?" Because that was an entirely different actor that, you know, did the White Guardian. Why is it, when we meet the shadow and for a period of time, he doesn't know that Astra is the key, and yet somehow by episode 6 he is very sure of himself that she is, and there's nothing in there that tells us how did he come to know that. And my most favorite character.
Which character was that?
The shadow, not knowing who.
And also Matt Herrick seems to suddenly.
He knew it for sure by episode 6, but we don't figure out anywhere in there how did he find that out or figure it out.
Merrick also somehow seems to know that everything about the key to time, even though no one told him.
Oh, then there's that, too. So there's all these holes in the story that to
probably
me
because
don't make
that's
it
when
sense.
Lots of different writers sort of just put their oar in, don't they? And it sort of sometimes these little plot holes occur.
Yeah, they don't read the previous scripts. And for all the darkness and the shadows and the pomposity and everything going on in this story, I found Drax to be a breath of fresh air. I enjoyed him probably most of anybody in the story. And about Mary Tam, some of this you may already know. They did try to talk her into committing to another year of the show, but I guess she was newly married and she complained, first of all, that she had no time to spend with her husband because all of her time was either shooting or going out for publicity. And I mean, the show was eating up all of her time. Plus, they must have to spend some time together because she was pregnant. And they tried to convince her that they could get all the shooting done before that became obvious.
Yeah.
But she just didn't want the pressure and all that. So she chose to leave, and she actually even suggested that the new Romana be what's her name?
Lala Ward.
Lala Ward, yeah. She recommended Lala Ward to be the next Romana. And one little shot of humor here is that, you know, when the doctor and Drax are reduced in size so that they're little Lilliputians, while they're standing on that floor and the mute keeps walking back and forth, just missing them. I don't know if you noticed, but I think costuming didn't notice either, that the mute, costumed from head to ankles, is wearing very modern, very, very posh tie-up shoes.
Oh, right.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, Kirby, you wouldn't notice, wouldn't you? Mm.
What's that book where... there's a book where they went through all of the stories. I forget what it's called. They noted that about...
I saw those shoes walking back and forth, and I'm thinking, I think costuming overlooked something.
That same mute is the one who ends up with the carpet from the floor in front of the TARDIS.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the ground is on his feet at one point.
Well, I have to say, I'm sure the viewers, stroke listeners, are finding that particular segment riveting. Have you finished yet, Mary? Sorry.
Yes, I'm finished now.
Oh, you're finished.
Thank
you very much. So, yeah, we sort of thought it was a bit meh. But it's okay. And
the discontinuity guide is what I was talking about.
So, at this point, There are, I think, two more series of Tom Baker left.
Yes.
Or indeed. So there we go. So this particular part of the journey, which is massive part of the journey, which we're looking forward to, is soon to be over, and we'll soon be sort of flying through the Peter Davison era and the Colin Baker era, probably by the end of the year, I would imagine. So there you go.
I'm looking forward to the Peter Davison era.
You are? That's good.
I'm looking forward.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Okay, let's move on to some...
I'd say that but at this point, the Peter Davison era is the one I've seen the fewest.
So that was Mary's phone dinging because I've just sent her something.
Yep.
The wonders of modern technology.
You got it anyway, Mary. Oh, well, sorry.
I did. Oh, no.
Earlier today we were thinking of possibly giving it over to me because Debbie couldn't do it, but you gave it to Mary, so.
Well, Mary's better than you at reading such things, I'm afraid, Kobe. Right then. So, before we do that, we must indeed do this.
Hello, 20 Million Buck Podcast, this is Ian Kirk.
Hooray!
The Armageddon Factor by Baker and Martin. As usual, six parts is too long for a story.
Yes.
The TARDIS is looking battered.
Oh,
Drax
it is.
Was annoying. The speeches were overlong. They had several other ways of stretching out the story, including wandering about in cave passages and Princess Astra staring at the key to time. I have that flu that is going around.
Oh dear.
If this was a better story, I might have recorded some audio.
Hmm.
Oh, I have recorded some audio, but I very nearly didn't. This story is only notable for the introduction of Lala Ward and an end to the key to time.
Yes.
Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian, for struggling through your flu cold thingy and sending us something. It's very nice of you, isn't it, everybody?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, I'm just giving you the opportunity here, Mary, to digest what you have in front of you. And I don't mean the bar of chocolate. I'm actually going to move on to Kirby has requested some feedback on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join. And I'm just going to see what came from it. Let's have a look.
Let me see if I can find...
There we go. I can see it as... Oh, I'll press the wrong button. There we are. Right, so Chris Miller says, Fred. I don't know if I'm doing these in the right order. Am I? Well, I'm going to do it in this order.
Yeah, Fred.
Lauren Nick said, good, this one is taking forever.
She's referring to the fact that we had delayed for the first time.
What was delayed for the first time?
Doing this review.
Oh, right. So that was your fault, Kobe. Jeff Waddle, it's awful. I don't know if he's referring to the podcast or the story. Maybe. You're very popular today, Mary, aren't you? Maybe Del Rose says, oh no, guess I'll be saying Romana's full name wrong all evening then. Well, obviously not, Debbie. Laurie Nick says, I love the expression of the guy with the glasses in front. In the background. Oh yeah, there's on the picture that was posted on the page. Can't really see that in a podcast. And then Kirby can read out Laurie, you can't speak. Laurie Nix's paragraph. Go on then, Kirby.
So much convoluted randomness in a virtual cavalcade of oddball characters. Drax the Brixton Time Lord, no doubt, was written in right before the pubs closed. Sorry, folks, but I could never figure out why Romana found the princess interesting enough to want to look like... Later. I remember liking this a lot the first time I saw it because of the plot twist and novelty of a story arc, but now I find it tiresome. Just seemed too long. A whole lot of set with little payoff.
Yeah, it was too long, but I didn't find it a trial watching it. I still found it quite nice. I mean, in fact, so much so that I actually watched it ages ago. So I thought, this is all right. I can just churn through the episodes. And I didn't think, oh, God, I've got to wish this one. I'll watch the next one tomorrow. I did sort of watch it in two batches. Jeff Waddle says, is Strax in this one? And,
Strax.
And then Laurie Nix said, Jeff Waddle fixed it.
Close to that Drax character is kind of like him.
Jeff Waddle. Laurie Nix said, Jeff Waddle fixed it. Spell check Deely. She must have written down Strax instead of Drax.
Yes.
apparently, I type Strax a lot. Kirby Bartlett Sloan, recording delayed to now. Oh, for goodness sake, what? You could have told me not to read that bit.
Well, don't read that bit.
Okay. Lillian Robbins said, oh no, Mary and Debbie, hope you feel better soon. I was sitting
That's from down, last week.
Yeah. I'm going to read them anyway. I was sitting down to finish watching the last two episodes when I saw this. This is definitely not my favourite story in the Key to Time series. Although I'm seriously thinking of cosplaying Lala Ward's Princess Astra outfit sometime. I adore it. And the Adam and Kirby show isn't that bad. Well, maybe not. Should have done it, though, Kirby, shouldn't we? I mean, if it hadn't been the Key to Time finale, I probably would have said, well, we'll do it anyway. But where it was the finale, that's why I thought we'd sort of delay it. But that was a wrong decision, as usual. Deb was fuming. Deb last week.
We're so used to these overarching series of stories. All of our modern TV series do that now.
Yes.
We're so used to it. But then I think this was a pretty innovative concept.
Where it was invented, yes. As Doctor Who invented the story arc. Laurie Nick said, Did I not? She said the Adam Kirby show isn't that bad. The podcast is still more interesting with a female touch, though. And then Laurie Nick said, we've always had a female touch somewhere along the line, right from day one. Laurie Nick said, so I can sit through that time loop yet again. And so, no good. This one was about 3.5 parts too long anyway. So there you go. And now Mary can...
No, there's another
is there?
One.
Where's the other one? You are.
I'm trying to find it.
You can't find it?
It's down there somewhere.
Is it?
I thought.
That's what she said.
Right.
This works great, doesn't it, listeners?
Okay, oh, here we go. There's no comments on my other one.
There's no comments on your other one. Well, that's good then. Right then, what we've got on the feed, we've got Laurie Nix says, a bit late, but it's been a difficult morning. Oh, because she joined late. Yes. And then she says, or was I caught in a temporal loop? Anthony Griffiths joined, followed by Lillian Robbins going, fire, fire, fire. Would you just call the fire brigade, Lillian? If you're on fire, no point typing it there. If you've got a fire...
What's the number from the IT crowd?
Unbelievable. Right then. So now we can move on to Mary's dictation of Alan T. Butcher's long-awaited feedback. I'm going to pull the handle on the side of my chair and sit back with my wand in my hand, and I mean magic wand. Oh, just not my TARDIS. Got a wobbly set. Oh, my TARDIS nearly fell on me then. Carry on.
I want Alan to know that this is going to be quite a challenge, and I'm crying because he has scattered Romana's name throughout this thing several times.
Oh, dear.
And I'm going to blow it.
Go on.
Okay. Then. Romana Advetrilover. But the moment has been prepared. She was the Romana Advetrilundar all the time, or the keys to Romana Advetrilendar. Dear 20 megabytes, the Armageddon Factor is, of course, a closely studied look at war and the subterfuges under which they are often embarked upon and then sustained. It also alludes to the way in which a third party may profiteer or benefit by elongating such a conflict. There is also demonstration of the sort of wartime improvisation and make do and mend that can make all the difference to prolong things enough to achieve victory as the Doctor patches together an ersatz key segment to use the key in a Heath Robinson setup to loop time. It should be noted that whilst some suggest this story is a load of old rubbish, in fact, it is an interesting and eventful tale with a good idea at its heart, just like all the Bristol Boys stories. I don't know who they are. We also learn that the longest running and greatest hunter from Callan, who had recently spent an animated but ultimately curtailed period in Middle-earth as Gandalf, had by now...
Well done, Kirby.
taken to the shadows as the imaginatively named The Shadow, working for the Man in Black, who dressed in black and had imaginatively reimagined himself as the Black Guardian, and become the counterpart of a guy dressed in white who imaginatively called himself the White Guardian. All in all, the Armageddon Factor is a better-than-you-could-have-expected climax to wrap up the rather prosaic season-long story. The clever use of the Key to Time's powers during the action greatly enhances this key element of the story as a meaningful concept. The sudden introduction of Drax adds a quirky and fun Time Lord character, later well paid off in a Tom Baker Big Finish adventure. I wonder which one that is.
Really?
Perhaps not surprisingly, K-9 gets quite a bit of good action in the hands of his original creators.
Yes.
Old K-9 costume was back, however, which is a huge mistake and very unfair. And the uncomfortable for John Leeson squeezing inside that small box with a very tight collar. No wonder he took a year off. It's a shame that Romana Advetralundar, the first last appearance on screen, goes unheralded, but this certainly allowed a good chance for her to return to give more life to this incarnation for another full series in the Fourth Doctor's resumed adventure with Big Finish, before Mary Tam's very sad and untimely demise.
Yes.
Serial was perhaps one episode too short, because we always need more of Valentine Dael's voice.
Yes.
Is that how you say it, Dael's?
Oh, it doesn't matter.
That was Dial.
Shut up, Kirby.
Next up, Doctor Who and the Rocks Disco, or the Norwegian Blue Davros. He's not dead, just stunned, beautiful panelage.
I'm not dead.
Those are my thoughts, Alan T. Butcher.
Thank you,
Mistress.
Alan.
Mistress?
I should presume you're talking to Mary.
Yes.
Oh, good.
The Bristol Boys are Bob Baker and Dave Martin. They were based out of Bristol. They were.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Thank you for that. Okay, right then. So that's it for feedback. Thank you for everybody that did decide to provide feedback for the show. We're going to move on to FantasyCon news. I'm a bit dubious about whether we should go down Doctor Who news or whatever. I will do it anyway, even though I'm a bit cross with DoctorWhoNews.net. I've given up on trying to get them to list FantasyCon on the conventions page. And don't tell me, oh, it's too soon, Kirby, because it's not really.
It's too soon.
They're just refusing to email me back when I send them emails. But I will refer to their facility for Doctor Who News, just for the sake of this show. Right then, what we've got here? Something that's new. Doctor Who nominated for Must See Moment. Doctor Who has been nominated for a BAFTA award as the Must See Moment on television in 2018. The episode Master. Rosa has been nominated for its portrayal of the moment in history when Rosa Parks refused to give up her seat on a bus in Montgomery, Alabama. So that's quite good. I don't know when the BAFTAs are, actually, to be fair. I do enjoy watching those. If they're on tonight, I'll be cross. The unofficial Master. Doctor Who Annual 1972 is, what's this? It's taken 47 years, but the Doctor Who fans finally have an annual for 1972. With stars from the show among the contributors. That's interesting, isn't it, Kirby?
Master.
I can hear Isabella upstairs thumping around.
You are listed.
In the middle of the
events.doctorwhonews.net.
Oh, no, someone's coming down the stairs. This is getting worrying.
Hello? Master.
Oh, thank God for that. I thought the door was going to burst open. No one's going to get told off for being too loud.
Doctor
Who Magazine, issue 537. Well, we're not too far off catching up with Doctor Who Magazine, are we, with our episodes? The lovely picture of a Dalek on the front and Mission Impossible emblazoned in text with a question mark.
Mary, can you hear me?
So,
I can hear you,
Kirby.
I don't think he can hear us. If he can hear you.
Tell you what, guys, if you want to go and see the shop, you better get yourself to the Isle of Wight.
Nope.
Because it's a very good chance that Who Won will be on online store only due to lack of support from Doctor Who fans. Not us, of course, we support them quite a lot. Guys, if you want to see Who Won the shop, come to Ride, visit it, spend some money, because it might not be there for much longer. Right. Children's Hospice across Scotland, better known as CHAS, have launched a campaign asking people to get your geek on for Geeky T-Shirt Weekend. I do love these charity things. Fifth Doctor meets Cicero. Peter Davison's Fifth Doctor meets Samuel Barnett Cicero this September in a Doctor Who audio drama for Big Finish. Do you know who Cicero is? I've lost the plot with that one. Oh, my dinger's going off.
Kirby's letting
I'm sure you've been. I beg your pardon?
Can you hear us?
Yes, I can. What did you say?
You couldn't hear us. We were both shouting at you and you couldn't hear us.
Yeah, that's quite funny in some ways because on the recording for the show, you'll be doing that and I'll be completely ignoring you, whereas I didn't hear you because the speaker went off. Are you still there?
Yes, but we kept trying to interact with you, but nothing.
Oh, well, I apologise. Well, I didn't know. It does. My speakers do occasionally do that from time to time, but I'm still able to carry it off because I'm a seasoned non-professional. Yes.
I'm gonna tell you this. That I tried to tell you like 5 minutes ago.
5 minutes
of
slight exaggeration there.
Doctor Who News.net for the events.
You what?
It's listed.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, let's have a look.
I've been trying to tell you.
And why didn't they email me back? Oh, look, I'm on it. Woohoo! They need to update it though, because there's a few guests missing from the list. Oh, I feel rather humbled. Thank you, Kirby, for straightening that one out. Yes, go to DoctorWhoNews.net, people, to actually see interesting Yay. Doctor Who convention. We've got a little TARDIS land where the Isle of Wight is. Hang on, I'm going to zoom in on that.
Listen to you.
Sorry, I'm just moving past Italy and finding. Oh, look at that! It's in Cowes too. I'm just moving this across. Hang on.
Too.
Oh, it is. It's almost exactly where it needs to be. Oh, it is. Look, it's by my house, Mary. Oh, this is fantastic. Yes, go to Doctor Who News.net and play around with the little TARDIS, which is actually landed exactly where. Fantasy Con is going to be, and I'm going to call it Fantasy Con because it's easy for me to say.
I'm at DoctorWhoNews.net, and where do I go to find this?
At the top.
At the top, there's some little tabs. Yeah. And the tab that says events. It's the third
events.
One along.
Okay.
Yeah. And then you go down to where Fantasy Con is. Listed, click on that. In the top, there's a map.
Enterprise College.
I'm telling her, Kirby, thank you. There's
a
map.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, if you zoom in, there's a little TARDIS. That's where we are.
Listed your guests? Nice.
Isn't that fun? Not all of them, I hate to point out, but some of our guests.
Yes, some of the top ones, definitely.
Well, some of the top ones, but certainly not all of the top ones. So that, therefore, leads me to talking about FantasyCon. And I need to refer to my Facebook page because my memory and names and stuff is not great. So, right, let's go down. Let's move down my list and see where we are currently, because I can't remember where we were when we last did a podcast, you see. I've just had a message from somebody that doesn't not relate to the podcast. Right then, so where
looking,
do we...
While you're looking, I went to the Big Finish site and found that in the grouping called the Fourth Doctor Adventures, there is one called The Trouble with Drax, and it was put out in June of 2016. So if anybody wants to follow up on Drax, because they enjoyed him.
Yeah. Cool.
He's not me.
Be quiet, Kirby.
Yeah, right not then. Kirby.
Okay, I don't know what... I mean, when did we last record? I can't even remember when we last recorded, but I think it wasn't this month, was it?
Last recorded, I'll tell you in a second.
Well, I don't believe that this message from Christopher Ryan was played on the show, so I'm going to play it now.
Hello, this is Christopher Ryan, and I'm looking forward to seeing you all at FantasyCon on the Isle of Wight, 24th and 25th of August 2019, this year. Thank you.
What a nice man. Yeah, so... Chris Ryan sent us, sent us a little video message. If you go to, and that was actually shared on, or everything's getting shared on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast Facebook group, but if you go to the FantasyCon Facebook page, which is fan, then the letters T and C, and then con, or if you look for the hashtag FantasyCon, join the thing, and then come to the event. That might be the best thing. Spend some money and help us fund it, because it's being funded by tickets, not by you know, sponsorship or anything. So
because yeah, even along. On the Doctor Who News.net, when you click on the event, there's another link. It says to the official website.
Good. Yes. Yeah, so but I haven't updated the official website yet because I've been busy, Mary. But the most the place that gets updated quickest and is the Facebook page. So, yeah, so obviously I don't know where we got up to with this. So I'm just going to go through various messages that came through that I put on Fancy God. Michael Hembury has been announced. Michael has been in – he was an Ewok. Probably – wasn't there an Ewok film? He was certainly an Ewok in the last of the original Star Wars films, which was the Return of the Jedi, I think that's what it was called, wasn't it, Kirby? Hello? Yeah. Oh, you are still there. So he was an Ewok on that. He was in several Harry Potter films, most recognisably as the Gringotts goblin that wasn't Warwick Davis. So you know which one's Warwick Davis. So
Was he at one of the previous Isle of Wight conventions?
No.
Okay, it was another little person?
Yes, that was he was in Star Wars. I can't remember his name now. He was a very nice chap. I could have got hold of him, actually, but... I've got a lot of guests. So, yeah, he's coming along. We've got... I'm on the wrong page here. This is your fault because you discombobulated me. On the wrong page. Right, let's go to the correct page now and see if I can get the right information. That is right, though. Michael is coming as a guest. So I'm going to scroll back down the list. Bear with. It takes much longer for... Oh, Comic Coffee are coming. Yeah, so he's coming along. We've got Masters of Lego. Now, it's called Masters of Lego because I couldn't use the term Lego Masters because that's a program on Channel 4 where grown-ups build Lego things. So this is the idea of what Masters of Lego is. A friend of mine is a master of Lego. He builds Lego models to a very high adult standard.
Well, you know what the doctor says.
What?
What's the point of being grown up if you can't be childish sometimes?
It's not childish, thank you, Kirby, playing with Lego. I'm sorry, building things with Lego. So this is what the Master of Lego is. It's basically he is a Lego master. He will present his models. People can bring along their works of art or masterpieces along to the show. And also children can attempt to build. We have some Lego and for adults and children, so it's basically Lego for adults, but children can dabble if they so wish to. It's going to be fun. If you lot guys don't like Lego, don't really care, there's lots of people that do, and this is the first
time
it's the first time adults have had a facility for indulging in their Lego passion. Okay, so that's going to be fun. In fact, when I first thought up FantasyCon, the Master of Lego was at the high up my list of priorities, but we didn't know whether it was going to happen or not because we couldn't find anybody who was a master of Lego until the person who had the original idea, Mick, actually decided to come and do it himself. We have Jenny Linden finally coming along. As you well know, I did ask Jenny last year to come along to IslandCon, but Ben, the IslandCon producer, said no. Forcefully said no, and I thought that was stupid because he didn't have to pay for a hotel or or travel, really, apart from I have to bring her in, but that's not going to be a lot of money. So, and I phoned up Jenny and had a chat with her. A very nice lady, and she's really happy to be coming along to the event. And, of course, she was in the 1965 movie Doctor Who and the Daleks. With the iconic Peter Cushing. She played a character called Barbara.
I was trying to place who she was, yeah.
She played a character called Barbara, but she's, for the layman, she's probably better known for playing sort of a supporting actress to when Glenda Jackson won the Oscar for Women in Love in 1970, I think. Her love interest in the movie was Alan Bates, whereas Glenda Jackson's love interest was Oliver Reed. And she was nominated for a Academy Award, the BAFTA, for that film. I think she won it, actually. Best newcomer she won. So she's a film actress, and she's it does list her most famous works here, obviously Doctor Who. She didn't appear in the second Doctor Who film, but she was in The Saint, Avengers, Black Beauty, Lytton's Diary, Lily, Tales of Unexpected, more recently The Practice, Lovejoy, Chancellor and Trainer. But the film Women in Love is the film that obviously got her the most plaudits because she got awards for it and stuff like that. So she's been around. She's worked with Ian McKellen in theatre and the Old Vic. So, yeah, she's a fascinating woman and absolutely.
She's local to the Isle of Wight?
Yeah, she lives on the island. That's why I asked her to come along. She's coming along, and I think she's fantastic. Addition to the event, especially because I haven't been able to get a lot of women. Well, she is the only one, so fantastic that she's coming along to add a bit of femaleness to the event. We also got Comic Coffee, which is a local cafe in Newport, who it's based, the theme is comics, and they're coming along to do the catering for the event. So actually really thrilled about that. We have, and I didn't know it was going to happen, but I did get an email from this person's agent a while back saying, would you like him to come along? Well, I don't know, I haven't got a lot of money, blah, 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 blah. Then she wrote me back again. I thought, well, actually, he's actually quite an iconic character and think everybody's going to know him. So Josh Herdman, I said, yes, bring him along. We'd love to have him along. Because most of our guests are sort of quite old, I'd say. But this chap's quite young and quite well known. And he plays Gregory Goyle in all 8 Harry Potter films. And I'm quite excited that such an on-screen presence and recognisable on-screen presence in the Harry Potter series is coming along to our event. And but I have been quite interested to note the people that have shown the most interest are basically women who think he's hot. So, yeah, delighted to have him. I know it's not a Doctor Who connection, but I have got a few guests that are not Doctor Who per se, like Martin Ballantyne, who's obviously Batman and Harry Potter, and we've got Michael, who's Star Wars and Harry Potter, and of course Josh himself is just mainly Harry Potter. But I just thought it'd be fun to have him come along. You've all gone very quiet, so I'm not sure whether you agree with me.
We're talking, or you can hear
you
us.
You sound really disappointed.
We're listening
I've
to
got
you.
Lots of good Doctor Who guests. Well, that's the end of the guest list,
yes.
Anyway.
Okay.
I'll tell you what else we've got going on. We've got the Lord of Time, which is the mini Doctor Who convention within FantasyCon itself, which is basically everything else at the event is a little, what I call a sort of security blanket for geeks. So, as you well know, I'm a Doctor Who fan, but I like other things that aren't Doctor Who, like Star Trek, like certain aspects of Star Wars. So my ideal event for myself is to go something that has mainly Doctor Who, but other things I like as well at it. So that's what this thing's all about. So Lord of Time is the heart of the event, and that's why we've got so much Doctor Who stuff going on it. Festival cosplay. Now, although I don't indulge in cosplay myself, even though I'd really like to, because I'm always running things, so I can't really get dressed up. I love cosplayers, and I love cosplay, and I love seeing people indulging in that particular thing. So we have the Festival of Cosplay. We also have awards at the event called the Coscas, or the Coscas, depending on how
clever
you want to. Yeah. And we have actual little mini Oscar awards that have got little stars on them, which are going to be given out to the best cosplayers. We're going to have 5 cosplay competitions per day. Things like Best Under 15, Best Adult, Most Original, Best Doctor Who, and Best of the Event, or Best of the Day. So those awards will be given out at the end of each day. The Star Wars Zone is absolutely amazing. I can't tell you how good it's going to be. They've got a huge room, and the amount of props that these guys have actually built that are accurate to Star Wars and stuff, you'd have to come along to see it. You won't be disappointed. If you love Star Wars, we've got the 51st Isle of Wight Garrison, who the most stormtroopers you will see in one place at any particular time. They're fantastic, and they're very, very committed, and they do everything for their charity. So you can have a great deal of fun there. Games of Foam is basically some guys who haven't grown up yet just like to shoot each other with Nerf guns. And I have to admit, I would like to have a go at that. I won't have time. But if you're 7 upwards, you can come along. It's a very small fee, I believe, to play with the Games of Foam feature. And Geek Heaven speaks for itself. It's places where you can buy geeky things for yourself and your loved ones. But there's loads of other things yet to be announced. The Kids Zone and things like that. It's a charity zone. Cow's Carnival will be there. And, it's going to be a great big fun thing for the August bank holiday, and I'll keep on going on about it. But I would like people to buy tickets for it, because every time someone buys a ticket, it means we can add something to the event. So So that's Master? The end of my spiel on FantasyCon. Yes, Kirby.
Star Wars.
What about Star Wars?
Did you see the trailer?
No.
Oh, my goodness.
Is it not very good? Oh, dear.
I haven't seen it yet either.
Oh, wow.
Is it oh, wow, because it's good, or oh, wow?
Yes. Oh, wow, it's good. There's some surprises in there, and it's just, oh,
so they're giving
wow.
everything away in a trailer. That's a bit naughty.
No, but it'll make you go wow. It'll make you cry.
Trailer.
Yeah. Right, okay, Kirby, what are you going to have to do? Trailer. You're going to have to share that trailer onto the 3 Megabyte page, because otherwise,
okay.
I don't want to spend hours trying to find the blooming thing. But I will say that we're very much looking forward to Avengers Endgame, which is coming out very soon. That's about it, really, isn't it? Okay. Any other business apart from Lavazzi, who I'd like to we're trying to get some scarves off to sell at FantasyCon. And of course, we're trying to get some wands from Master of Disguise. Because I might have to specifically buy some Gregory Goyle ones from the Warner Brothers shop.
I think it was you that mentioned about how Who Won is not doing very well.
You have to watch the Harry Potter films to know who he is. But lots of people do, Mary. Oh dear, everyone's gone quiet, so I presume.
No, I don't think you heard us right.
Sound again.
Yeah, I don't think you heard me.
No, I didn't. Sorry, carry on.
Was it you that I saw the comment about how Who Won is not doing that well these days?
The store is not getting visitors, but they still sell stuff. But they sell stuff more online than they do in the actual shop itself. So I'm thinking it's very unlikely to be here. I think they're working from a week-to-week basis. So like I'm saying to people, if you want to see Who Won, which is a lovely little Doctor Who shop.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
Yes. And it's very a one-off. It won't be there for much longer. So if you want to go and see a Doctor Who shop dedicated to Doctor Who, go to Ride and see Who Won before it's not there anymore.
That's the second one in the past several years to go under, isn't it?
Well, they're not going under. They're just going online. So they're online anyway.
Are they no longer sponsoring the show?
Well, he's sponsored for this year, so
well, that's good.
But whether it will be any further after that, I'm fairly sure they're going to continue with it. He's got a lot of stock to continue to sell, so. But there's no point in keeping the shop open. He has to pay rent for the shop and everything. But, as I say, let's go along and support the shop. He very kindly gave me some cardboard cutouts for FantasyCon. I got behind the TARDIS, behind me, some cardboard cutout Cybermen. And a cardboard cutout Weeping Angel. Now, Deb was actually going to buy a Weeping Angel from Amazon, so it was quite good to get the one for free behind me. She was also actually trying to stop her buying cardboard cutouts of the Big Bang Theory cast. It's very difficult. She said, oh, £200. I could spend £200 on a blooming room for a guest. £200 on a cardboard cutout, honestly. But I think she's going to get a wish at some point, and we will end up with all of the Big Bang Theory cast in cardboard cutout form. So there you go. Okay, so we've got nothing else coming up on the feed. I'm just going to just check on that's not updated. Oh, it is. There's a few things coming up on the live feed. So I'm so surprised we've still got viewers, because Kirby's been boring everyone to tears for the last 1 hour and 12 minutes. Laurie says, sit back with my wand in my hand. That's what I was doing, Laurie. What a coincidence. That's what he said. Yes, I did. Alan T. Butcher said, I scattered Romana's name throughout time. And then he says, Drax is in Big Finish, The Trouble with Drax. Did you know that, Mary?
Well, that's what I just reported to you minutes ago.
Sorry. Well, I didn't hear that bit because my audio went off. Laurie says, and the use of Norwegian blue for the win goes to. And then Lillian Robbins says, pining for the fjords. And then she says, keep your want away from Josh. Don't you mean wand? She'll change that now and make me look silly. And then keep your wand away from Josh. You could have deleted the last one, Lillian. There you go. Right then. So next time we'll be looking or viewing or talking about a four-part story called Destiny of the Daleks. Terry Nation's
Be
quiet. I'm talking about it. Terry Nation's last contribution to Doctor Who, may I add. Yes, Kirby.
Speaking of four parts, we just watched the very last six-part Doctor Who story.
You could have said that at the beginning. I could have then introduced it as the very last six-part Doctor Who story. Well, no, it's not, though, Kirby. You're wrong. Hang on. Let's get one of these. He's got to have this, because when you're wrong, Kirby, you get one of these. It isn't. Kashada is the last six-part Doctor Who story, even though it wasn't broadcast. We'll be watching it and reviewing it, because I haven't seen the animated version yet, and I'm really very much looking forward to it.
Oh, you haven't? Oh, it's great.
All right. I'm just saying. I know what the story is. I'm just...
Yeah, we're going to have to... I guess that's the official one we'll be doing, because there's, what, six different versions?
We have done Sharda in the past, but this is the one I'm really looking forward to, because Tom Baker's come and filled in the gaps, and we've got John Leeson doing the voice of K-9 instead of David Brin.
Oh, you'll love the very last scene.
Yeah. John Leeson, by the way, I forgot to mention this, is coming to FantasyCon. Okay, so there you go. Oh, photo ops available. So if you want to buy a photo op with Colin Baker, John Leeson, Christopher Ryan, Josh, I forgot his name. Josh, should we call him Josh? They're all available at the Eventbrite website. If you go to Eventbrite and type in the FantasyCon, you'll get all our tickets are available. And we actually, before I say anything else, if you're a carer, you get in for free as long as you go in with the person you're caring for. Isn't that good, everybody? Free tickets for carers at FantasyCon.
It's very nice.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Yes. There you go. So, I was just trying to allude that next week we're going to be doing Destiny of the Dark. Is that all right with you lot?
Next Sunday?
Yes.
Okay.
I know it's the Queen's birthday, but I don't think it should be too worried about that.
Is it?
Kirby's just gone quiet again.
No, I'm just bringing up the calendar. Make sure. I'm pretty sure I'm fine. But
yeah, right. I think I'm fine.
I want Debbie to come back.
I somehow think I've got. Oh, is it Easter Sunday?
Yeah, it's Easter Sunday.
Oh, I don't think anything will be happening in the evening of Easter Sunday. If I get told off tomorrow by Deb for saying we're doing a podcast next Sunday, I'll let you know. Okay.
All right.
But until then, buy tickets for FantasyCon, listen to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, watch Doctor Who. Until then, thank you for listening, watching, and speaking about the show. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Fancy Pants.
Bye.
Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV services production sponsored by whowon.co.uk and lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the British Broadcasting Corporation. No copyright infringement intended.